Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Schmo Zone. Today's episode is brought to you by Fusion CBD. I got right here Fusion CBD sports water. This stuff is great after a workout, great for recovery. They have sleep and recovery pills. They have tinctures. They have rubs. They have everything that you need. Use the promo code SCHMO to get 20% off FusionCBDProducts.com. You will not be disappointed. And the other sponsor for today's Schmo Zone episode is Sheath Underwear. Go to sheathunderwear.com and use the promo code SCHMO to get 10% off. This is the best underwear I've ever worn. Look at the Schmo right there. We're there in Abu Dhabi. It's 100 plus degrees with humidity. Balls can easily stick to your to your sides, right? Using this stuff, they got the patented, protected ball technology where your balls go over. They're super comfortable. Robert Patton, U.S. military vet, created this concept when he was in Iraq. Love this stuff. Go ahead and get you some. Let's start the show. What's up, everybody? This is Dave Schmolensen, a.k.a. The Schmo. Welcome back to another episode of The Schmo Zone, episode 27. My co-host is...
Helen Esports, episode number 28.
Oh, it's 28. I got already. It wrong. Okay, I was one off. Well, it's fight week, UFC 252. That means we have the trifecta. These guys are coming on the show for the third time. To my right, we have the Red Hawk, Tim Welch. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, brother.
And we have the man, Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Brother.
It's a big fight.
Yeah.
You guys just drove in, too.
Just pulled in.
How was that drive?
Easy. Just fucking took a little nap in the back. Feels like deja vu being back so quick, huh?
3, 5, 6 months.
And an update to the hair.
And then update to the hair.
How long did it take Danny to do this one?
She had a friend help, so it was definitely, 2.5 hours? 3? Something like that. Yeah.
I feel like that's less than the first time you did that.
First time was a little more crazy. I think it was 2 more colors. So yeah, a little less colors, but.
So how long does it last in being that vibrant?
Depends how I wash my hair with cold or hot water, what shampoos I use. It'll stay this vibrant till the fight.
Well, she did such a great job.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Awesome. And she has to, you can't get the yellow and the blue to touch at all. So you have to like separate them, even when you're washing it after you're done. It's crazy how she didn't get them to touch.
Talented.
Very.
Have to look good for the cameras all on you.
Yep.
First time that you are the co-headline. Second.
Yeah, but the first one didn't count. That was against Tarion, that one card.
Okay.
One of the worst
But
cards.
This is pay-per-view.
Yeah, this one's a big
this
deal.
This is pay-per-view.
Way bigger deal, for sure.
Huge deal for arguably the greatest trilogy in UFC history with Stipe and DC, and then everyone's there to see the Sugar Show, too. And obviously, this is the biggest test of your career to date.
Yeah, couldn't have came on a sweeter card, too, like you said. I think it's going to be a really good pay-per-view. The card's pretty decent. The last two fights really just sell it.
And now you have your own octagon. I saw it's all over embedded. You guys picked one up or shipped from Las Vegas over to the warehouse. Maybe you have a swamp cooler. Maybe you just have fans.
A little bit of both, I think. I don't know. Yeah, we got a text, Emron, who's the CEO of Sanibel, one of my longtime sponsors. He said, brother, I need help finding a cage. He said, dude, check this one out. It's on eBay. It was actually in Vegas. So I bought it on eBay and flew two of our buddies out, Chris and Chris. They got a U-Haul, drove it back. We set it up. put it in the back of the warehouse and used it for every session.
Were you guys surprised to see sugar as the co-main?
No. No. Not after looking at it. I mean, you could make the argument. Obviously, JDS, mm-hmm. former champion, mm-hmm. you know, his legendary status, but then you'd have two heavyweights. But I just think with the buzz that this guy's mm-hmm. been able to create, I guess it's that time of year again, too, with Dana White's Contender Series. We're heading into week two. I think that's actually today is the mm-hmm. start of week two for it. I just think with everything going on, he's at the juncture, the point of his career, where his name definitely carries it. And what a win on Saturday could mean, expect him to be headlining.
And also, with the merchandise you sold, congrats on that.
Thank you.
Your merchandise dropping.
It dropped this morning. And it's already over 40,000, I think, or something.
Damn, good yeah. for you.
So, that's the jerseys went 39 seconds. So,
and you've handled all this stuff yourself. You've
Not by myself. The last merch that just dropped was with Killer Merch.
Okay.
And then the jerseys, we were working with someone else, but definitely not by myself, but not signing any long-term contracts where I'm stuck and getting screwed into anything.
Yeah, I respect that you're still so young, but taking kind of that business approach to everything.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, just like Sean said before, it was like, as being even a pro fighter, an athlete, you do have quite a bit of downtime, because if you train an hour and a half in the morning and then an hour and a half in the afternoon, you pretty much have downtime between those.
It's funny, too, because we've noticed all the articles from all the other MMA outlets talking about, oh, the entrepreneur, Sean O'Malley, and using that whole angle. It's like, to me, this is just the pivot that is necessary that you have to do in 2020 and beyond to build your brand outside of the cage, which you've obviously done a phenomenal job doing and continue doing.
Yeah, I mean, UFC is not going to necessarily pay you what I feel like I truly deserve, but I'm probably thinking higher numbers than in realities. I don't know. So I'm like, but every time I have a fight come around, all the sponsor money goes up, the merchandise goes up. So, you know, I kind of plan that into my fights, into the, you know what I mean? It's like, they're not going to pay me. I could ask for $1 million in my head. I'm like, I'm worth that. I'm worth that. But there's not a chance I'm getting that. But everything else goes up. So it plays into it.
And Tim, I don't want to creep you out, but I did watch your night routine on YouTube.
Hell yeah.
And so I noticed you guys finally watched The Last Dance.
Oh,
finally.
Love that show.
I told you.
Yeah, I'm listening to his book now. So, oh God, he got me fired up. I'm shooting hoops every day now. I'm trying to play in that celebrity tournament when it comes back. Stuff Kevin Hart.
Which one? At the All-Star game?
I don't know. I know NBA? They always have one, like a celebrity tournament.
Yeah. They have it in February at the All-Star game for the NBA.
I'm just trying to get famous enough to play in that.
You should be in the All-Star game for February.
It would be so fun.
If anyone from the NBA is listening, someone has to be. Mm-hmm. Put this guy in the All-Star game next year, 2021. Oh,
God. You might not see me back in the UFC.
For the fights, though, didn't they have... They had Junior as the co-main first, right?
I think so.
A fight like that, you it's almost like, oh man, there's no way it could be boring. But after watching Derek Lewis and Francis, ooh, it's a possibility it could be boring. But with Sugar, there's zero possibility it's going to be boring.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, because he's fighting Jarzinho, and we mm-hmm. watched what he did in April.
To Alistair.
Well, we watched what he did to mm-hmm. Alistair in D.C., but what happened to him from Francis Ngannou in April, and then seeing what Francis did to JDS. He's done that to both these guys. So both of these guys have come out there early in the first round and have not put forth their best foot and have mm-hmm. lost pretty early on. So it's interesting to see where these guys come from. Are they going to come off as timid, or are they going to come off with guns blazing? I think we just don't know, and I think that's a big question mark.
And it's easy for all of us to say they're standing outside the cage, but when you got a 275, 280 pound man who's fucking explosive, and literally if I take one move too early or one move too soon, boom, you're going to wake up looking at the lights. So it's easy for us to say, man, they're not going to be exciting, but for them in there, it's like, fuck, if I make one wrong move, I'm going to be sleeping.
Yeah.
I want to go back to when this fight became official, because I came on your podcast. It wasn't official yet. I know I was kind of antagonizing mm-hmm. towards that direction. I felt that was always going to be the fight to make, but when did you guys truly know that this fight was locked and loaded and when the contracts were offered?
I announced it on my YouTube pretty right after.
Right after.
When the contract was signed. But I was like, you know, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, this fight's going to probably happen. Yeah. So right after I found out, I announced it.
How was it seeing Perillo and Cheeto and the boys training and stuff? Was that a good fun trip?
Yeah, so we did that trip before we went to you guys. Oh, so we saw that. So Helen's known Perillo for a long time at the Ruka
one
gym.
One of the first people I met in this business.
Oh, cool. So we had gone to that gym, I think, even before Cheeto was with Ruka at one point. Mm-hmm. I know you have for sure. I think the first time I was there too. So it was, I think it was my first time seeing Cheeto but I will just say, like, you know, he's a striking coach, so all we saw him do is hit pads. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they didn't show us the full repertoire of things in front of us, but, you know, it's same thing when we've been there when he's worked with RDA, Luke Rockhold. Yeah. So pretty much just holding pads, hitting pads for him, cool. Working on nothing crazy creative, but this is definitely such a fan favorite fight. And a lot of people, like when we were just with Aljamain Sterling, they're like, let's see Sean O'Malley on his back. Let's see if someone goes for the takedown for Sean O'Malley. But something that we've talked about since the very beginning of us doing interviews, you know, when you had the USADA situation stuff, you were drilling jiu-jitsu. You were working to be in these uncomfortable positions, improving that. You just haven't had to showcase that.
Yeah, exactly. I guarantee Jose Quinones, his plan was get me up against the fence, take me down, put me on my back. I don't think Eddie's plan really was that too much. I think he was probably planning on trying to knock me out. But neither of those worked. And I'm going to obviously avoid. I want to knock someone out. I don't want to. If I choke them, that'll be cool. I really want to knock someone out. And you don't really knock people out from your back. So I'm going to be trying to get up and just avoid the takedown and try to knock someone out. That's what the fans want to see.
But there's a big possibility you knock someone out from your back.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, we got some. There really is. But just knocking someone off, it's hard to walk away if it knocks someone on my back. Just start rolling.
You still could do it, though.
Start rolling around.
But even with him, everyone wants to see him on his back. He could whoop someone's ass from his back. He could be smacking them up, elbowing them, threatening submissions the whole time. Not always, because most people are just like, oh, get up. His style, his flexibility, his length, he has a style to be attacking the whole time and fighting the whole time from his back and putting them in danger the whole time from his back. But even with this fight with Cheeto, the biggest thing we were hoping for is like, dude, with all this craziness going on, let's just make it to the fight. Let's see if we can. So that's why I had to leave and not teach at my gym. We pretty much quarantined, went from our house to that warehouse back and forth. And when I saw Cheeto training at Ruka and then going into the Art of Jiu-Jitsu, I was like, fuck, dude, I hope we even make this fight. But we're, what, 3 tests away from actually making the fight.
So, Tim, what was, you know, going through your mind when everything finally lined up? Because I know this fight was supposed to happen, you know, multiple times before.
In my mind, I was like, fuck, this is not a good time for this fight to happen, especially being in Phoenix. I think it's the number one or top 3 cities in the U.S. that's with COVID. And I'm still training jiu-jitsu, so I still have my students coming in. But I was like, there's got to be a way we can do this. So we were looking on Craigslist for warehouses to rent. Both of us were looking at different places and then just asked the guy that we're using the podcast studio from, hey, can we use this space? And he said, fuck yeah, let's use it. So then that's when Sugar texted Imran, got the cage. This was all within 3 days. We got that cage set up. We got this whole game plan together. And now we're here fight week. Like I said, 3 tests away from the fight actually happening. So I'm fucking pumped.
So you were worried because of the testing situation and him going to all those different gyms. That's your hesitancy about this thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, for us, obviously not getting the COVID. Not that it's going to like affect us that bad. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But just
being able to fucking fight.
All the people were around in Phoenix every day. We're constantly, sometimes we're going to Tiquinho's gym. We're training at my gym where there's lots of people coming through it.
We didn't go to the lab at all.
Yeah, we didn't go to the lab. And then seeing Cheeto, I was like, fucking, he's in a hot spot too. And he's bounced around different gyms. I'm like, dude, if we make it to this fight, it's going to be a celebration.
Interesting. No, that's a good way to look at it. But here we are. Yep. And obviously, we're a few days away. Obviously, there's a lot of tests that still need to be done, mm-hmm. the right precautions in place. But what I look at too, when I look at Sean, and Helen and I were talking about this last night, we just look at different styles. Styles make fights, right? And different fighters have different successes. If you look at who's extremely successful in the UFC right now, what do they have in common? Kevin Holland, someone who actually just credited his bonus to you, the way his long limbs and they walked off. Israel Adesanya, you, fighters of your caliber, the way John Jones, for example, too. You guys, another one, Zabit, and I don't want to screw up his name, Magomed Sharipov, long last name. Nice. My last name's Long Schmollens, and I can't be intimidated by other long last names. What all of you guys have in common is you're both lengthy guys that aren't have the biggest frames in the world in terms of just width and everything, but you have long limbs, you're able to keep your distance, and it gives you guys such a competitive advantage with your striking. You're all confident, you all use it to your advantage, and you're all successful at this point in your careers too, and only growing.
Yeah, I mean, this body type, whether it's for my weight or you go up and have someone a little bit taller, is just superb for fighting. The length and knowing how to use it, the leverage, and being, you know, still lifting, still being strong, it's the best for fighting, best for jiu-jitsu, best for combat sports.
100%. And I don't think just that body type, but I also think that explosiveness, that fucking quick twitch muscle, but then knowing how to contain that, because we know we're going to get into some 5-round fights here. So knowing how to use that explosiveness, okay, just kind of chill out, bounce around, use that explosiveness, bounce, chill out, instead of like use it the whole time and gas out in 2 rounds.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. I was actually going to bring that up, which is what I like about your style. Like, you seem to, you know, obviously understand when to explode and when to just kind of reserve that energy. But I wanted to bring up and get your thoughts on, you know, everyone's kind of saying, okay, this is Sean's like biggest test. This is the only time he's going to be tested. Just curious to get your thoughts on, you know, just people saying this is the first test for Sean.
I think it's just another test. I think he is probably the toughest opponent. When I look at Jose Quiñones, as far as a striker, I think Jose is a better striker than Marlon. A better fighter, I don't think so. I think Cheeto would beat him. So I think he is the toughest fight to date, but I just I don't see how he beats me.
Yeah, and tough-wise, pretty much everyone in the UFC is obviously super tough, but Cheeto is super durable. But just like he said, I think El Teco, he was up there. Eddie Wineland, he was up there. Everyone's saying it's his toughest test. And if you read comments and stuff, people will always be talking shit. Oh, when are they going to keep feeding him these guys? Oh, this is such a tough test. And when I look at Cheeto, I'm like, man, I'm looking at all his weapons. And what are his main weapons? His durability. He's super durable. People can't put him away. But people are also hitting him all over his head. And Sugar's so accurate, he's going to put shots right on his chin, and break down his body. So I'm pumped to see how durable he really is Saturday.
It's interesting to look at the trajectory, too, of where to go from this fight. I know you've been vocal about Cody Garbrandt, who a lot of people thought his next fight would be you, or Marlon Moraes would make sense too, but now he's going down to 125 and fighting Davidson Figueiredo. So it puts you in a position too, like, if you take care of business Saturday night, what is the next step? Because there's also, I'm not sure, I know you saw this too, but on the main card too, like John Dobson against Merab Dvalishvili, two guys in the top 15, knowing the winner was probably going to call out the winner of your fight with Marlon Cheeto Vera, that could be made. Or you also have a case, too, of fighting someone in the top 5, top 6, and being 1 to 2 fights away from that title shot.
Yeah. I'm calling. I don't know. Should I say who I'm going to call, or should I wait?
You might as well just wait.
We'll see. Yeah, I think it really, really depends on how I put you. Do I go out there and knock him out? And then I'm fighting someone different. If I go out there and win a decision, I'm going to be fighting someone. You know, it depends how I finish Cheeto. There's so much that plays into who's next as far as injuries, just the timing, where the fight's going to be. You know, so there's so much that plays into it. It's hard to say right now. But if I go out there and do what I plan on doing, I do have a name in mind.
What do you think Cheeto would have been ranked if he would have beat Song the Little Dong?
He would have been top 10, right?
10, I would think.
I would say six anywhere from 9 to 12, for sure.
6-fight win streak, 5 finishes, never been finished.
So if he did win that, which a lot of people thought he should have,
right,
and he got into the number 9 spot, and then Sugar comes in and knocks Cheeto out first round clean and walks away, then what do you say?
Then he's literally one fight away, like one more opponent away, winner of that fight gets that title shot. That's the conversation you have. It's interesting how those rankings really put into play and how, you know,
the
whole
people
works.
Behind the rankings too.
I look right. at Cheeto's top 10. That's what in my mind that's what I've trained for. He won those three judges that scored that fight. It's just like he won that fight. In my eyes, he won that fight. He's top 10. And that after I beat him, I'm beating a top 10. That's how it plays out in my head.
It was a very, very weird night. We were there. It was the fight night in D.C. That was the night that they did a draw with Marina Rodriguez and Cynthia mm-hmm. Calvillo.
Yeah.
That was such an interesting night. And you had all the nut shots on Stefan Struve from Ben Rothwell. It was a very interesting night. And it was right around, too, I know the UFC Houston card, too. There was a lot of controversy with the judging, too. I know with the Dominic Reyes and John Jones mm-hmm. fight as well. The Trevin Giles, James mm-hmm. Krause fight. A lot of different quarrels back and forth when it comes to the officiating side, I feel like. And that just happens when you're adopting a system that wasn't built for MMA, that was built for a different combat sport.
Yeah. It's tough. Well, when we look at Cheeto, too, it's not like we're looking at Cheeto being like, oh, it's easy. We know how he's a bad motherfucker. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's been in the UFC a long time. He's super durable. He never been finished. He's been in the UFC how many fights?
Like 10, right?
10 fights, and he's never been finished in the UFC.
Are you expecting his jiu-jitsu in this fight?
I don't think he can take me down.
Yeah, if he can take Sugar down, I'm going to be super impressed. Watch all of his fights. He's never shooting on guys. He's the one flopping to his back, wanting to go to his guard, Muay Thai clinching with people, hoping people take him down into his guard, and catching people with super simple triangles. But like I said, we're looking at this fight, and the way we see this fight, it's like, okay, we know what his capabilities are. We can knock people out with each fucking limb. He's super accurate. He's super fast. He's in the best shape right now he's ever been in. Healthy as fuck, top to bottom. But we prepared hard for this fight. This is the best preparation ever for a fight right here. It's because the whole fight camp was focused around Sean. All of our focus was around Sean and him being at his best. The diet was perfect. The strength and conditioning was good. The training partners were good. Just the sparring was better than we've ever had it.
Being able to train in that cage, too, and really get familiar, it's the same size as the Apex. When I got into the Apex cage against Eddie, I was like, oh, this is, you know, different. We're sparring in a bigger cage. Our mitt sessions, our grappling sessions, our sparring sessions were in that cage. I'm super familiar with the dimensions of that cage. So I think that's going to be super beneficial. He's going to try to put me up against the fence and trip me. That's his way of beating me. That's it. Put me up against the fence, trip me, and then that's the beginning. He's still got to affect everything else. He's got to do everything perfect, and so do I. I'm gonna fight a perfect fight. I always show up, and 15 minutes of focus. I just don't see how he can beat me.
And I think he'll be super, super. Which most people are, I think, surprised by the speed of Sean. There looks like a lot of holes just watching on TV. His hands are down here. His hands are down here. But until you're standing in front of him and feel it, just like Henry Corrales said a long time ago, like when he spars Sean, he gets anxiety, and that's the perfect word for it. When Sean gets in front of you and he's bouncing around side to side and he hitting you with shots you can't even see, it's like, fuck. You start to panic a little bit, and you start trying to grab him, and then shittily trying to grab him, and that's where you're going to get fucking dinged up. And I think that's what's going to happen to Cheeto.
And his shots are very precise.
Yeah. They're on, like I said, they're on the money. These are the shots Sean's hitting people right fucking on their chin where it turns the lights on. Turn the lights off, and compared to other people who are hitting them all over the head.
An escapism that you do is playing video games, Twitch and everything. Modern Warfare. Do you play with Wonder Boy Thompson?
I have once. Yeah. I think I played with him and him and Weidman.
It's so funny because our neighbor below literally stopped me as I was grilling yesterday. He's like, yo, Schmo, I'm playing Modern Warfare, and I'm playing, you know, Wonder Boy, his younger brother. I'm playing with him, and I know you're close with Sean O'Malley. He's playing with him. You're playing with him. This is 6 degrees of separation. I'm like, yeah, dude, this is such a fucking small world. That's nuts. And you also said, like, you know, playing that game gives you kind of a high. You said it was, I think, a kill that you had, a little streak that you're doing gave you more exhilaration. Embedded. They put that embedded, better than knocking out Wildlands.
I clutched up a 1v5 on Search and Destroy, planted the bomb.
I was in it. I was in there.
When embedded was there?
Mm-hmm.
That feeling right there gets my heart racing.
Are you a gamer too?
Oh yeah.
I game a little bit here and there, about 30, 45 minutes a day with the boys. It's pretty fun.
How is the embedding crew? Are they invasive? Are they in your space? They respect it? They all wearing their masks?
Super cool, dude. It was just one this time. Yeah, he was super cool. Just asked every time, hey, can I record this? Where do you want? What do you want me to do? Super cool and respectful and wasn't bad at all.
So how long are they following you guys?
It's super different depending on if it's right now it's COVID, obviously. The countdown came Countdown already shot a countdown for JDS and Rosenstrike, I think is what I was understanding. And then they got told, hey, go shoot Sugar and Cheeto. So they only had one day for the countdown. Usually I think they do two. And then the embedded guy came and did Saturday and then just a little bit Sunday.
And I also want to ask you, Tim, how's the new red light machine? Mm.
We both got one.
You both got one.
Yeah, we set it up, been laying under there and just soaking under there.
Butt naked.
Waking up. First thing, wake up every morning.
And go lay under that and do my meditation and stuff. And so far, it's not like any supplement or something. It's not like, whoa, I feel crazy benefits. But if it's just a
little tiny bit added in with all the other things I do, then it's going to add to something else.
Well, what made you want to get one like right now?
My buddy Jordan Johnson, who's in the PFL, I saw it on his story and I said, hey, where'd you get that? And I looked into it a little bit, and then they were in Scottsdale, so I messaged them, and Sugar and I went and picked one up for each of us.
Mito Light?
Mito Red Light, yeah.
Mito Red Light.
Have you had a chance to play the EA Sports UFC 4 game yet?
No, I told everyone on my Twitch, I said I ain't playing that game. They didn't give me my rankings too low.
What was I have some inside information that
on who makes
the rankings. I'm going to ask him about it on Thursday. Apparently, DC makes the rankings. That's what I was told.
Bullshit.
That's what I want to find out. I'm going to ask him as the schmo in the press conference Thursday, and then I'll find out why he gave it. What's the lowest part that
there's
you were
a Q&A with me in DC tonight, right? I think there's like
a Q&A.
Yeah. I said if my speed's anything less than 100, I ain't playing.
Well, hopefully we can change that, because I did come on set bearing gifts. They're going to give this to you, but okay. I have it for you. EA Sports right here. I think there's some games in there for both PS4, and you can open it up if you want to check it out. You got the PS4 in there and the Xbox.
We'll definitely be playing. I brought my Xbox.
The hotel will be a lot of chill.
You want to play too. And also inside there too. I guess they're doing this for UFC 252. They're having
Reebok's doing the walkout stuff still, and they got your jerseys in there.
And the shirts. Show the camera.
They're not Sean O'Malley's, but they got your video games in there. You got everything.
Yeah, that's tight.
I should have been on that cover. That's a pretty.
I think 2021, you got to be on that cover.
Yeah.
I think that's just going to be the move for you, man. They got everything for you. So
boom,
making it all work.
Damn, hell yeah, that's badass. Thank you, brother.
Of course. Well, thank them. I was just in the right place at the right time, which usually tends to happen. Hopefully, they'll have one for you at the hotel,
too. No, that's good.
But they'll make it work.
Well, if they do, we'll do a little giveaway. Oh, shit, I forgot
about that. Yeah, of course, though. But
thank you.
So, weight cut for this time, did that differ at all from the last two times we saw you guys? Or is it pretty much kind of standard, same status quo that you've had before?
It's we're right on track. It's same
thing. I think I'm a little bit heavier this
camp than I was last time. I think I'm a pound over than I was last time, but right on track. A lot of water, not a lot of calories for the next couple days, but it's weird because usually we get here Monday, so it's already Tuesday. I'm like, holy shit, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm done. I feel it's nice because I haven't felt hungry, and I'm I still have energy. I still feel good. And it's already Tuesday, so it's sweet.
Well, speaking of weight cuts, you did bring his name up earlier, Cody Garbrandt. Just wanted to get your thoughts on his drop to 125.
Yeah, I've said
this, and I'll say it again. I'm going for Cody. I think it'd be sweet if he wins, because I do think that's a big fight someday, me versus Cody at bantamweight. And if he wins,
and he's the featherweight champ and the bantamweight champ, then I knock him out. I'm champ. That's how that math works in my head. That's not what people think, but that's what I'll think. And if he gets knocked out, then I'm going to almost feel like a bully. I'm like, I want to fight you. You've only been knocked out 4 times in the last 5 fights. So I'm going for him.
If he gets knocked out, fuck that.
Yeah, I was gonna, if he loses, over. Are you going to still go for him?
I don't think that just doesn't. I don't. I'll feel. I don't want to knock him out.
If
again.
A little tiny guy knocks him clean out, 6 foot sugar who cracks way harder than that little guy, they're not going to book that.
Yeah, I won't want that fight.
I'm not going to press you guys to call out the next opponent. I'm going to let you have your moment inside the cage too. But someone who,
outside the cage,
outside the cage. Yeah. So someone I'm going to bring up though that I've always thought would be great for you down the line too. And I think if timing works itself out. Where's the interest level lie in fighting a guy like TJ Dillashaw?
Oh yeah, I'll knock TJ Dillashaw out someday too. I think it'll be good timing. He gets back early next year. I think that's a big fight too.
Huge fight.
I
definitely think TJ is one of the tougher fights though.
100%. Yeah,
he's good. He's good. But
I think he's top two toughest in the division.
I do too. But how is his mental knowing that he was getting away with that? How many years? Who knows? Didn't Cody say that at a press conference?
All those guys mentioned it for a while.
It's like, dude, okay, now he's going in there to fight a young stud like myself, knowing he can't get that little thing up his butt. I don't know where his mind
would be.
That's the
truth, too. That's the truth. If you've been using steroids and stuff, and you're being able to go into training with that fucking kill mindset, your testosterone's really high, and you're just everything's just like, oh, I want to kill this motherfucker, and then you don't get it anymore.
I mean, applying it to all sports, who's really been the same? Was Lance Armstrong ever the same after he was caught? The Alex Rodriguez's in baseballs, the Barry Bonds, the Sammy Sosa's, Mark McGuire's.
UFC. You can tell they're just different. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, that's definitely a fight that interests me. But I got to keep winning too. I can't come out. I can't lose and call anybody out. So I got to keep winning to get these fights.
Didn't TJ tell us when we last interviewed him, he wanted to try to come back and get that title shot immediately,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he wanted that too, but...
might work out perfect.
Then. Yeah, it's interesting too because obviously a lot to prove on that angle. It'd be a huge, massive fight. I didn't want to skip this over too. I did want to get both your takes on the main event. Everyone's making the narrative, you know, this is DC's last fight, DC's no matter what happens. A, do you guys believe that? And B... You know, a lot of people don't talk about this, too. I think James Lynch interviewed Stipe and asked him, too. But this could potentially be Stipe Miocic's last fight as well, which I don't think a lot of people discuss as well. Like, if you leave this fight, you walk out and beat DC, you ride out on the sunset, what left do you have to prove? You've already defended this bout more times than anyone else in UFC heavyweight history. He's got his family. That's all he wants to do, spend time with them. What left would Stipe Miocic have to prove if he gets the W?
Whew. Yeah, go ahead.
Man, he already got through Francis, and everyone was just cringing that whole fucking fight, but he got through the fight and got the W. But if Stipe beats DC, which I think in that small cage it's going to be tough, but it's possible. If he does, and Dana came to him with a wad of cash and said, hey, John Jones wants a title shot, let's run it, then he'd be like, all right, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't thought about that fight too much. Obviously, just super focused on mine. I don't know. That's tough. I don't know.
They obviously both have wrestling backgrounds. The pedigree is a little bit different for DC and Stipe, but is DC's wrestling that much better than Stipe's?
In that small cage, yeah. Every single scramble that they get in, he's going to have the upper hand in.
But they both KO'd each other, so... How much of it goes into how did their week go? How did their weight cut go? Did they sleep this week? What are their injuries they're dealing with that people don't even think about that could go either way, you know? And both of them knocking each other out one apiece, it's like, fuck, who really fucking knows?
In that small cage.
Who knows? Whoever lands first clean on the chin.
Same with the JDS Jarzinho fight, right?
Ooh, absolutely.
Watching that Jarzinho, how he came up, it's badass. Hard to root against him. And Junior Dos Santos just seems like the nicest guy and such a beast.
Good singer, too.
Dude, excellent singer. That fight in the little cage, holy fuck. Ooh. Are you guys going to be cage side?
Not for this one. If we were cage side for this one, then we wouldn't be able to talk to you in the post-fight press conference. Because you can't leave the apex and go back into the tent and vice versa. The second you leave the apex, you're not there. Oh. And I don't think we made the cut for this one. It's totally okay. Mm-hmm. I don't mind at all. I'd rather talk to you guys and anybody else who comes to the tent, you know? That's just the way I see it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And earlier you brought up Derek Lewis. Did you watch his performance? Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Man, he is so fun to watch, isn't he? I think he might be, well, him and Francis got to be close, but how explosive he is when he just lets go. He's so fucking entertaining. Every time Derek Lewis fights, I want to watch it 100%.
And his interviews.
And his interviews are fun too.
Oh man, yeah, he's badass.
Like yours. I love the king chair. I love everything. I love what you do. I love the Boston Celtics theme color for O'Malley, for the jerseys and everything. They talk about you as an entrepreneur. Where can you take the stardom? There's no limit. You look at guys like Conor McGregor. You look at the even combat sports, the Floyd Mayweathers. You have big dreams, big aspirations. How far can you take the Sugar Show?
Dude, yeah, like you said, there's no limit. Before Conor blew up, I always saw myself getting in the UFC and being the biggest superstar. And then seeing how big Conor got, you know, that just gives me something to go past. So past that, I see someone tagged me on Instagram, Dean Thomas. Someone asked, he said, does Sugar have that superstar Conor has? I thought me and Dean were boys. Maybe he's just saying it from his perspective. He said, I don't think so. I'm like, what the hell are you thinking? No, so I don't know. I think, you know, for sure, just unlimited. I just got to keep winning. That's it. I think there's no limit.
Yeah, just like he said it before in interviews too. As long as it's just back, all this talk is backed by the main fucking focus is get good. Find the best wrestlers we can and train with them. Find the best jiu-jitsu guys we can and train with them. Find the best people we can and train with them and just keep going up. Keep going up. It's hard when you're, 13-0 now?
12.
12-0, it's hard to be like, oh man, I'm doing everything right and just chill, maybe game. But we're not like that. After every fight, we've both agreed like, hey, let's pretend you lost and go, let's try to fix it. Every fight, let's pretend you lost and try to fix it and try to just attack your weaknesses as much as possible. And now his weaknesses are literally turning into his strengths. And I think that's what it's going to take to just fucking blow up.
Interesting. I like that you guys use that mental side a lot to prepare for these fights. So going into it, because earlier you mentioned the mental side between like DC, Stipe, kind of what's going on behind the scenes. So with Sean being undefeated, obviously like keeps on putting on such great performances. Do you have any specific fight week rituals or anything that you do behind the scenes?
Besides coming on this podcast?
That's probably the only one so far. One that I could think of is cutting weight in a hot tub. Last fight, we couldn't do that because you can't cut weight at the PI, so we cut weight in a bathtub for the first time, and the weight came off pretty easy. Surprisingly, I was a little upset. I'm like, are you serious? We can't cut? But other than that, not too much. Just a lot of fucking chilling at the hotel. We're going to watch the Bruce Lee documentary. Mm-hmm. I guess the one tradition, we always watch Roy Jones, Prince Nassim. We always watch their highlights.
But even mental-wise, still, it's not like it changes fight week, but even meditating.
Yeah, I do my practice, all those practices. And stuff. Yeah, I continue to do all. It's weird because that's just part of my life now, that it just doesn't seem like it's something I don't know, it's just part of
it's like a habit
day.
Now.
Yeah.
You just brought up Roy Jones. We were supposed to be in LA tomorrow to interview Roy Jones, but they postponed it everything. He was going to be on the Joe Rogan podcast, but they postponed it everything. Yes. Oh. They postponed it everything, though, because that fight now with Mike Tyson is pushed to November 28th. Mm. It's supposed to be September 12th, push it to November 28th. I think Mike wanted some more time to train and sell tickets.
Ooh.
Most importantly,
that'd
I think to sell tickets.
That'd be sweet if we could go somehow.
Yes. That's the hope, too. It's going to be outside at the Dignity Health Park facility. It's an outdoor venue.
Oh, cool.
It's where the Chargers played in Southern California. Shit, man. Does Mike Tyson still have it in? Roy Jones, I think, has been active since he's last fought in 2017. Mike last fought an exhibition fight 2005. That's a 12-year gap.
Yeah, the exhibition. I'm wondering how come they made it an exhibition. It makes you wonder, like, I wonder if they're buddies and they're looking to cash out.
Or, who knows?
Yeah. Who knows with the exhibition? Because you think Mike Tyson, because how old is he?
He's in his early 50s. He might be like 54. Yeah. He might be like around 54. Mid-50s.
And he's got all this shit going on. I wonder why he's like, hey, let's have a fight, when he knows how much it could, him getting KO'd clean could fucking just doesn't do anything for him.
I'm honestly shocked that he's doing this in so many regards, because when I interviewed him for the first time impromptu, Helen found out where he's going to be. He was over at the Planet 13 here in Vegas at the dispensary because he's promoting his weed product. So I go in there, I meet his wife Kiki, and I just finagle a way to interview him as the schmo and go up all there. And he's stoned out of his mind. It was amazing. He subdued. Oh, hey, schmoey. Hey, it's
yeah, schmoey. That's awesome.
It was fantastic.
That's fucking awesome.
And sure, is he a scary fucking guy? 100% he's scary as hell. But did he look like he's someone who's ready to get back into the ring a year and a half later? Hell no. So I was like thrown completely away. I think people look at him, they see he's in shape, they see he's still getting in shape, he's talking about fighting, he's around the UFC, he's around all these fighters. I think he's just got a lot of people in his ear. Hey, you can still do it. You could do it, just like he was just on Shark Week. And he's someone who can't really say no to a challenge.
But it's the why. Like, why is he doing it, right? Mm-hmm.
And the fight's in where? Do you know where it's at?
Yeah, it's in Southern California, Dignity Park.
It's like the charity soccer event? Park.
It is a charity event. That's what it's for.
So no, an exhibition, so no commission probably, so you can... There's no drug testing and stuff, so he might be feeling pretty fucking good. Dude.
Well, I think they're trying to do drug testing. I think that's what this is. The talks are with the California State Athletic Commission. Drug testing. There was talks about wearing headgear, not wearing headgear. It was supposed to be just body shots only. Both these guys don't want to do that. They want to headhunt, rightfully so. But man, Roy Jones Jr. is just, you know, he's one of the all-time greats too. How active he's been throughout the years and durability. It's not going to be an easy fight for either of these guys.
How many rounds?
I think it's 8 rounds.
Yeah, regardless of what it is, I'm going to watch and I'll be pumped to watch. Dude. Yeah,
it's got to be better than Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz 3, yeah. Right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's got to be.
Yeah,
it's got to be.
With Tito, you never fucking know what the hell's going on. You know.
Oh, Jason Perillo told me he'll fight like forever if he can.
I'm not. Really? I'm not allowed to interview Tito Ortiz anymore.
Why?
Combates Americas won't allow me to because when I interview and they're paying his bills, he's an ambassador. Mm-hmm. So when I interviewed him last, he went all Hulk Hogan and did this whole thing, and it was funny as hell. And he liked it, and he has no problems with it. But Combates like, hey, I don't want you to be this guy and be our representative too. Which I think is such a catch-22 because he talks so much about politics. Do they want to bring politics into the sport? Yeah.
And he loves WWE, so he was getting in character.
So it wasn't a Tito decision. We still have a great rapport, but it was just like a Combate thing. So, if I was in his shoes too and someone was paying my bills and, hey, you just can't interview with this person? Okay, fine,
yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. His manager or, I don't know, someone he works with messaged to be on the Timbo Sugar Show. We're thinking about having him on and have him take some big rips before
you
ask him
some
good questions.
Dude, you guys have to do it. And I love what you guys have with the podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, too, is like you guys have a podcast. You guys now have an octagon. So you have your own little place. And I know you got your gym. You guys have other gyms to work for. You have Danny with the hair. You got
Danny
clothing
does
line.
My hair, my food, massage, stretch.
Shout out to Danny.
Superwoman.
And this is what we talked about before. You got like this well-oiled machine here. Then that's what you got to do. You got your little bubble of how to literally put together your own sugar show promotion.
Yeah, it's finding experts in every area and you know, learning as much as I can and doing what I need to do. But right now, the main focus is make money and buy the Sugar Factory. Rob Dyrdek Fantasy Factory style. I can't get away from it. It's all I think about. I'm like, I need my octagon. I want a basketball hoop. I need a foam pit, a rope swing, a stripper pole, a little skate park for Tim. You know, he loves to do little kick flips. I want a warehouse. I'm looking for at least an acre so I can get my house and put my warehouse on there. And that's what I want right now. And then I don't need a – then we're good. We're good.
I'm coming to that pit.
Absolutely.
Oh,
to that
fuck
pit.
Yeah.
That would be
– Not the stripper pole part.
No.
Unless you were going to use it. I mean,
oh, yeah. You
then everybody,
see my
then everybody's volunteering right
your
off the bat.
Schmo underwear?
Oh, yeah. That hairy chest? A lot of when did you start
hairy.
Getting that hairy chest?
I asked him that 2 days.
I'm finally getting mine, too, but it's just blonde and couples bringing out here and there.
Me, too.
Hey, as long as it's on the chest and on the back.
Yeah,
right?
Fuck yeah.
My dad's like an ape man. I don't have that. But no, the chest, probably when I was 16, 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Got thick. That's but lit. I still can't grow a full beard like you guys. So, like, it grows on
this
my chest,
20,
but it's on my face.
5 years of growing.
Literally in eighth grade or eighth, ninth grade, I would take my razor and just shave nothing every day.
Until it started growing.
Goes in. But my chest, yeah, like I said, just a couple whites here and there.
I didn't even use a normal razor till I was like 25, 26. I was using an electric razor for like
your
a decade.
Dad's?
Yeah. He's like, hey, just use it. He was lazy. Just use an electric razor. So I was using an electric razor. So I'd always have razor burn and shit on my face. And it's like, well, I barely had to shave anyways, maybe like once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
that's funny.
I mean, I guess like I don't take it for granted anymore. People still think I look like I'm a baby.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing though.
Then you see those kids in like sixth grade with hairy armpits and like beards and chest. You're like, what the fuck?
There was kids like in sixth grade that had more facial hair that grew more than I could grow right now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's just funny how that all goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But do you guys feel like life is starting to get back to some sort of normalcy if they're ever such a thing for you guys? Like, is this thing that we're living in, this era, this COVID era, is it starting to become normal for you guys, or is there still that kind of shock that you guys still feel with everything?
Nothing really changes. The biggest thing that I notice is the audience that when I'm fighting, that's the, for the most part, like, I mean, if we have to go to the grocery store, just wear a mask, go grab our shit. We don't go to the mall. We don't go out at night. If we go to a restaurant, we usually, you know, we'd go to a restaurant maybe Friday night, something, but for the most part, nothing's really changed in our lives.
Yeah, for me, a little bit, just because it's the first time I haven't went to the gym and really quarantined to the warehouse, and then back home and stuff. But even watching the countdown with Stipe and DC, I was like, holy fuck. The amount of electric energy that's in there when all those people are screaming towards that one area, I'm like, holy shit. And even Mariah said, she's like, man, that's crazy. Like, she's pretty much completely forgot, like, the fans and how much energy it fucking brings.
It's got to be crazy for any up-and-coming fighter that's looking for, like, their viral moment or catching on with the fans and masses and stuff like that. To have this era where you're not in front of fans and to not feel that connect, I feel like it's almost harder to become a star in this type of era because of that.
Well, the Contender Series, though, right?
But like to not have that electric feel of 10,000 plus, 15,000, 20,000 plus. They had 60,000 over in Melbourne for Israel and Rob Whittaker.
When I knocked out Jose, I wish I would have landed that uppercut in peace. Tim said, I didn't know he was out. That uppercut landed, I could have walked away. So I finished with those ground and pound and the crowd went crazy. But that Eddie knockout, that would have been the craziest just eruption. And I got robbed of that. Not robbed of that, but it would have been exciting. I go back and rewatch the fights, watching Jose and everyone going, wow. And then the Eddie one is just like quiet, kind of. It's weird.
We've said it before. I think it's a big advantage for most people. Sugar, like I said, forever he's been like, man, the lights, the more people that watch me, the better I'm gonna perform. He's just got that about him. But most people, man, you step in that cage and that's the first time you've stepped in this empty big open arena and everyone's yelling at you, so you're like, oh fuck, all right, let's get this over with. For a lot of fighters it's that way, so I think for a lot of people it's better,
it's they easier can fight for them better. To perform like, yeah. It's sparring.
And you can hear everything, mm-hmm. every corner, mm-hmm. all the announcers, like everything you can hear.
Yeah, like even Kevin Holland when he was talking a lot.
Yeah, we listened to Kevin Holland talking trash to Buckley like the entire fight. Like we heard every conversation that went on.
And who was that burped? Because I heard a fighter like burp.
Oh, yeah, well.
Clay Guida? Sure,
yeah, he always does.
Was it him?
He always hears that too, but it's just different. It's just a completely different feel. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, is there anything that I really appreciate you guys' time? I mean, this is, you guys are hopping on fight week. We are, what, 4 days away? Drop the clothing line this morning. Yep. He's rocking the shirts. Promote anything you guys want.
Yeah, my merch just dropped, sugarshow.co. Link's in the bio. Our Timbo Sugar Show podcast is on YouTube, Spotify, all that, everywhere.
That's it. Fucking love coming and hanging out with you guys.
Thank you guys. Yeah. Ritual, tradition now.
Tradition, yeah. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. And hopefully we're back in AZ in the next month and a half.
Get up on there.
Hell yeah.
Hit a bag of smoke.
We're trying to revamp all our stuff, get new cameras, get the new... we're trying to reset the whole... Because we're on episode 100 coming up, so we want to revamp everything, make sure everything's fucking quality, and not have to give away our pod completely to do that. But it's been kind of a pain in the ass, but also fun at the same time.
Trademark.
Trademark. Yeah.
Trademark.
Oh, my and the Sugar Factory. Trademark
and the Sugar Factory. Yeah, yeah. Sugar Factory. Ooh.
The Sugar Factory. Want to sign us off?
Okay, my last show being 28.
Your last show. Nah. She is. Her birthday is on the 16th, so a day after your fight. So we're okay. going out to dinner.
Hell yeah.
We're going what to night? The Sunday Tower. Night Eiffel Tower restaurant overlooking the Vegas Strip, oh. the Bellagio Fountain.
Try to get Quickie in up there.
Maybe. He's out like that. He's a gentleman.
See what we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so am I.
We'll figure it. We'll make something happen. We'll make it at work. So so it's the birthday weekend for you is getting to see your fight.
Yeah.
And then
happy birthday.
How old, Alan?
29.
Oh.
Damn.
So your 29th podcast will be 29?
Oh, that's 28. True. 28. And this is my last
memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I know.
Get
I'm
it
like,
tatted on your
something. Even though some people, they're like, she looks between a mix of 25 and 50. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. No, it's true. With
it's a
makeup
wide range.
And without.
Both guys look young.
Yeah.
No, he looks way younger, but it's okay. So, since it is my birthday weekend as well, and the huge fight coming up, can I hear the schmo sign off?
It's the Schmugga Schmo signing off with the Schmo and the Pro. All
right, at least let me get some sort of glasses. I'm going to take it off of the bust.
Oh.
We need some sort of glasses.
Oh,
so
you're
could...
so... Our merchandise is...
We have merch dropping, but we'll make an announcement, so stay tuned.
Those
we got merch dropping for the Schmo Zone.
And glasses.
Schmo glasses are coming. Yeah, by the way, I have the original Schmo glasses going out for merch, too.
Tight.
I'll make the announcement later. A little too soon here. This is a sugar show. Yeah. All right, so what am I doing, to sign off?
Yeah.
All right.
This is the Schmo, episode number 28, the Sugar Show. Tim Welch, Sean O'Malley, Helen Esports. She's turning 29. We're out.